Mark 1, 16 to 20. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
The title of the sermon is a little bit cheeky, hashtag come follow me, Jesus Christ. So the title today is Following Jesus, taking from, as the brother read earlier, Gospel of Mark. I don't know where you were last Mother's Day Sunday morning. I woke up Sunday morning, just like every Sunday morning I woke up. I was pretty jazzed and amped up. As usual, go to church, ready to go, worship the Lord on Sunday morning. And I have a habit of listening to BBC. And you ask me why, perhaps. I hate ABC because they're all about America. I do like CBC. They talk a little bit about, you know, Canada and the world. But BBC World Service talk about the world. So as I was listening to BBC that morning, my heart began to sink. Because there came the news about the bombing of three churches in Indonesia by suicide bombing. Now, just a little bit of a trivia question. What is the biggest Muslim country in the world? Do you know? Indonesia. So it in my heart because of the fact that Christian churches got bombed. Right? And what is even more certain is the fact that the tragedy was committed not by one terrorist. It was actually two separate bombings committed by the entire family. They separated into two groups. The sons go one way, the father and mother and a young child go the other way. And my head began to spin a little bit and ask myself that question, why? What motivated them? What motivated them to do just that? You see, that's not the first time I asked that question. As a way of doing some inventory, according to some studies out there, in 2017 alone, there were 338 suicide attacks in 23 countries by approximately 623 terrorists. And then 4,300 people were killed, 6,700 were wounded. And let me kind of think of a Christian writer who were noodling about this kind of phenomena, and he said the following, and I quote, "Young men are asked to strap bombs to their bodies to blow up themselves and innocent people. They have been told that this will guarantee them an early place in heaven. They are asked to undertake what the people asking them to do have not done themselves. Ah, but at least Jesus died himself. If anyone suggests you to become a martyr, you should say this, you first." You first. Now, apart from mourning for the loss, my mind kind of came to a similar conclusion of this writer. You see, if ISIS followers obey their leaders in that fashion, how should we Christians follow our leaders? The passage that we read this morning earlier, I suggest to you offer three insights. Three insights. First one, following Christ means following after. Following after. If you read the red letters of the Bible, you know what I mean by red letters, right? Red letters are what? saying of Jesus. Right? You know, when you study the Bible, you know, you go to Sunday school, you know that chronologically speaking, Gospel of Matthew is not the first book that was written. Which one was it? Gospel of Mark. And then the last one was written by, according to John. If you go through the red letters of the Bible, you will see that the very first thing that Jesus said to the disciple and the very last thing that Jesus said to the disciple is exactly the same thing. Follow me. As Jesus was walking along the seaside of Galilee and he immediately see, you know, the people that he wanted to call, say, come, follow me. And then towards the end of chapter 21 of Gospel of John, he said the same thing to Peter again. It was Peter was looking at John, because Peter all of a sudden get the call to be a martyr. He said, well, what happened to that guy? Jesus said, don't worry about him. You and me, brother, you and me, your relationship with me, follow me. Follow me. But the English translation doesn't do a lot of justice in terms of the nuance of the Greek Bible. Because in the Greek Bible, there is a little Greek there. I'm sorry, when we transfer the file, usually my Greek got fouled up. The word is opiso, follow after me. This little phrase also appears in Matthew chapter 4, 19. Following Jesus means following after him. What does it mean? What does it mean? Well, first of all, we follow after because of our nature being sheep. The famous Alliance pastor, A.W. Tozer, once said that the Lord did not create us as cattle. If that is the case, to move cattle, you need to be driven or to chase them. But we are sheep. Sheep are led. Cattle are driven. Sheep are led. And this is exactly the backdrop of John 10, 3, 4. Jesus go first. When Jesus lead, he goes first. Bible said, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So when we say you first, means that whatever Jesus is leading you to, he has been there. You see, this is the kind of the shepherd model of Christ's leadership that tells us we cannot take our people beyond where we ourselves have been. And A.W. Tozer would say he can only lead others only as far as he himself has done. Because Jesus has been there, we can follow him and we can trust him. Our job and our nature in living out our life as disciple of Jesus Christ and as sheep in following Christ means that we need to do two things. Number one, we do not get ahead of the Lord. And number two, that sense of following requires a deep sense of submission. We can sing the following song. You guys sing the song, right? Jesus Culture, you sing this song. Where you go, right? Where you go, I go. Where you, what you say, I say. And what you pray, I pray. It's not an easy song to sing, because that's kind of reflect the commitment a little bit, right? People, the Lord is not only our shepherd, but he's our leader. He's been there, so I can trust him. But you know, not getting ahead of the Lord is not easy. See, as human being, we want to do our own thing. We want to be master of our own destiny and the captain of our soul. You know, you read, how many of you have seen the movie Invictus? Invictus, you know what? Okay, about rugby, that world rugby game being played in South Africa. It's actually, you know, the title of the movie, Invictus, is actually a poem A gentleman who wrote a poem, I forgot the name, I should know better, but at the very end of the poem, he said, "I am the master of my own destiny and captain of my own soul." Sometimes we don't see our own human accomplishment in following the Lord. We want to try our own thing. We want to do our own stuff. A good example in the Bible is King Asa, or Asa, right? Early on in his life, he was relying on the Lord and he would be able to win a lot of battles. And perhaps he's won too many battles. He thinks that, hey, you know what? The Lord didn't do this. I did this. And he kind of turned the attention from the Lord to himself. I did all this, not the Lord. So when he was ill in his old age, he did not seek help from the Lord. And guess what? He died of the disease. But perhaps a better example of submission is the founder of YouVersion. How many of you have YouVersion in your... You know what you guys know what YouVersion is, right? I don't want to make assumptions when I go to preach in Chinese church, especially, you know, YouVersion. You know? One of the favorite stories about following after by staying is the gentleman by the name of Bobby Grunewald. I hope I got his name right, Grunewald. You see, Bobby is a pretty smart dude, you know, or in our language these days, he's pretty lit, right? He started and sold two startups before he graduated from college. So obviously, this guy is crazy smart and lit. And then Bobby started volunteering for a church in his mid-20s. He was then eventually hired as a full-time staff. Now, although his contribution to the church was pretty good, some would even say extraordinary, he didn't feel like he was making a difference. So Bobby considered quitting and going back into business. You see, for him, that's the easy thing to do because that seems to be his sort of gift, if you will, you know, using the Christian language. But as a pastor, he still got a long way to go to learn and to grow and to be nurtured. But by the grace of God, he decided to stay. And among his many important contributions, Bobby came to creating the YouVersion Bible app. Some suggest that this creation has done more for Bible distribution than anything else since the printing press. The rest, as they say, is history. The moral of the story is this, that listen to what God is telling you what he wants you to do. Sometimes the right decision is to stay. Sometimes the right decision is to stay. When Bobby was frustrated, or in our language, salty, right, he chose not to quit. He didn't give up. He didn't say, hey, this is not for me. I'm going back to business. He continued to follow after Christ by staying right where he was and flourished. That reminds me, I'm from Toronto. Pastor Sam, thank you for the kind introduction. Reminding me again, my two daughters are going away, and I'm upset by that. I'm from Toronto, and Toronto got three major league teams, and one of them is Blue Jays. A few years ago, there was an interesting pitcher by the name of David Price. I don't know whether you follow baseball, right? He used to pitch in Tampa Bay, got traded to Detroit, come to Toronto. We couldn't sign him, and now he's pitching over in Boston. Red Sox, we hate Red Sox. We don't like Red Sox. We don't like Red Sox. I say it again. David Price had a problem pitching in Yankee Stadium. Most of the time he pitched in Yankee Stadium, he would lose. One day he was so frustrated, he went back to his locker room, pitcher glove, throw against the locker. "I'm not going to pitch here," one voice here said. He sat down. He wrote a little note, stick it on the locker. and it sets. If you don't like it, pitch better. If you don't like the church, do better. Don't just quit. If this is what the Lord is calling you to. So let me repeat. Following after means not going ahead of him and be submissive. When Jesus called us to follow after him, our response, we humble ourselves and submit ourselves. Second insight. Following does not only mean following after, but following Jesus means that we are following him with a new purpose. Jesus said, I will make you a fishers of men. You see, when the Lord called his people to follow him, he gives them a new purpose, a kingdom purpose, turning them from ordinary into extraordinary, from fishermen to churchmen, from focusing on local stuff and turn their eyes to the global setting. But the importance of calling to achieve new purpose must not be ignored these days. Because in our days, you know, my older one from time to time would yell at me, YOLO man, YOLO man. In this YOLO day and age, right, we all want to live out our lives to the fullest, to our own desire. But if there's one thing that tell me about my research into the local bond a few weeks ago, I was here talking about my research project a little bit, listening to their voices. What matters to those who were born in Canada or raised in Canada when they were young, when they came here, is the issue of identity. What defines your identity? Are you Chinese? Are you Canadian? Are you Christian? Are you Canadian-Chinese? Are you Chinese-Canadian? When I asked these type of questions, they all got confused. Who are you? What really matters at the end of the day is not so much about we being Chinese or Canadian. It's the very fact that we are Christians. And God calls us with a sense of purpose, a sense of values. Because purpose and value shapes our identity. And purpose and values can only come from the Lord's calling. Give us a special direction in our lives. But sadly, in immigrant church, not only Chinese, but other churches, I see that as well. We have this problem of coming to grip with what kinds of values are we transmitting to the younger generation. I would suggest to you that we are being shaped by two sets of values in the immigrant church community. The first one is the Asian values of our parents that focus on success and the prosperity gospel that emphasizes what we call the health and wealth focus. These two are totally inconsistent with what Jesus calls us to be. In my research of the local bond, one of the outlying reasons, not the main reason, but the outlying reason why they defect from their faith is because of these types of influences. Many have come to worship at the feet of the success and prosperity gospel. I mean, you look at this, the gospel according to Silicon Valley. Do you see the four angels there, archangel? You do. It is called FANG. You know what FANG stands for, right? Oh, you guys are too spiritual. You don't invest in any stocks. You know what F is, right? Facebook? A? Huh? Can you speak a little louder? Let's have an interaction here. What does A stand for? Amazon. Well, depends. I like Apple a little bit better. But that's okay. So if you like, we extend F-A-A-N-G. What does N stand for? Netflix, right? And then G, you know what G is. You all Google this day, so. One of the young gentlemen, sadly, actually it's a PK, told me this. He said, all my peers left the church because they really want to go down to Silicon Valley and make a name of themselves and so on. And I said, well, you don't have to do that anymore. In Toronto, we have 3 startup hubs. You can stay in Toronto and do that. You see, prosperity gospel tells us that we are going to have a good life. Success theology tells us about accomplishment. But true gospel beckons us towards fulfillment. Fulfilling God's will and desire in our lives, and in so doing, fulfilling the call for us to be Gothic. Ah, here's an interesting word, Gothic. You know what horrific is, right? You know what terrific is. What does Gothic mean? Matthew chapter 25, good and faithful in Christ. So if you don't remember anything today, ignore what Wong said, just remember Gothic. That would be good by me. That would be good by me. The second purpose or the second insight of following God is to follow with a new purpose. Our response to Jesus' calling with the new purpose is we obey. We obey. The third insight is to follow Jesus with a sense of sacrifice and risk-taking. Here's what the Bible said. Immediately, twice it showed up. They left their net, or they left their father Zebedee and the boat with the hired servants. Leaving means giving up. Not giving up what you don't need or just sparing a change. You know, I come to Vancouver quite often. There's one thing I don't see in Vancouver that I usually see in Toronto, and maybe because of the way that I drive, or maybe I stick in the Richmond all the time because I teach in Richmond, so my hotel used to be in Richmond. And this time I got a pretty good deal in a hotel right next to Stanley Park. There's one thing I don't see. When you go do a left turn, you have to wait for the signal, right? In Toronto, major intersection, you make a left turn, there was a guy with a sign, I'm homeless, give me some money, you know, like, I mean, I'm a single mother, give me some money. I don't see that in Vancouver, so you guys must be pretty rich. Even the homeless people are pretty rich. They don't have to do that. And I don't know about your thinking. Every time when I do that, my instinct is to put the hand in my pocket. Do I have spare change? Giving up $5, $2, spare change. But I want to tell you, when Jesus called his disciple to quit the net, to quit the father, to quit the hired servant, to quit the boat, is not an easy thing to do. This is not just simply sparing a change, but giving up their livelihood, giving up their former relationship to forge a new one. What we are leaving behind when following Jesus would be our lifestyle, our comfort zone, our safety. But most importantly, what we give up in following Jesus is our own ego. We move from what I call a power-driven model of service and lifestyle to the one that centers on service. And this kind of challenge showed up quite clearly in the Chinese immigrant church community that I research into. And I said earlier, Chinese immigrant parents want their children to be successful, to achieve, because of their belief in success theology. They don't call that because they don't even know what theology is, but I call it success theology. They want success for their kids because of the honor culture as well as upward mobility, right? I wrote a lot of that in my PhD dissertation in terms of the early immigrants, why they want to move to Canada is for their kids, for upward mobility. But underneath all that, there is a high desire to avoid risk. Take one example. Right? And this is something that you can kind of think a little bit about. Right? Someone come to ask me and said, well, you know, we can find an English pastor in our church. And to the degree we can find, it's no longer Chinese descent or Asian descent, it's Caucasian. Well, they're still good, right? But the problem, when you kind of look at it, the root cause, the real root cause, is that we Chinese parents do not like our kids to become pastors. Right? When we do pastoring and calling pastor, we put up a sign, and the sign reads NIMB, not in my backyard. Hey, pastor, thank you. You good, good, good. But my kids, no. We do city hall gesture. You know what city hall do, right? Not my problem, it's his. Not my problem, it's hers. Someone else. Let me give you three quick quotes from my interview with about 60 participants in both of my study. And I think I said that in my presentation a few weeks ago as well. So let me repeat it and hope I won't bore you. This gentleman has already left the church, and he told me the reason why he left the church is the hypocrisy of the elders. And he singled out one elder. And he said that when your older son heads to study in commerce, you were ecstatic. But when your younger daughter wants to go to Bible school, you pour cold water on her. Right. Second quote. This church leader always said, I love to see my daughter marry a God-fearing, loving Christian. And that was when she was in teenager. But when she was dating, that's not his attitude. And the story behind this is that the lady was dating a gentleman who worked at a Christian parachurch organization. Why would the father not like that? He was saying that. And why would he change his attitude? Because guys who work in church, guys who work in parachurch organization do not have a lot of what? Moolahs, monies, American dollar bills, Canadian dollar bills, and so on and so forth. And the last one is the most interesting, and this one happens to a gentleman who attends UBC, so I don't need to tell you who that is because that would be good, so UBC. This gentleman wanted to respond to Jesus' calling to be a missionary. And he came to Canada when he was really young. And he wanted to go back to China to be a missionary. So he told his dad. His dad yelled back, I made every effort to emigrate to Canada so that you don't have to go back to China. Speaking about mission, you look at what our denomination, I sat on the board for 6 years. I totally understand that I was part of the finance committee and I was the head of all the committee when I was on the board. I totally understand the finance behind the missionary that we are sending, and I'm really proud of being a CNMA, member. CNMA commit to full-time ministry, especially overseas mission, to the least people group in the world. That is the core of CNMA's endeavor. According to an organization called Joshua Project, there are about 16,800 unique people groups in the world, with about 6,900 of them considered still unreached. Just take a look at what CNMA website is saying. Christian Mission Alliance is committed to Jesus and its mission. We are a group of approximately 440 local churches in Canada, and we send people to live on mission locally and globally. And I want to stop. Out of 440, about 92 to 95 are actually Chinese churches. We aim to be a Christ-centered, spirit and power, mission-focused movement in everything we do. And the CNMA in Canada is taking steps to complete this mission by focusing on the least rich people groups in the world. We need to follow Christ with that sense of wonder, that sense of sacrifice, and that sense of risk-taking. He's an example of making sacrifice and taking risk to follow Christ. This is a letter a young dentist wrote when he engaged in medical mission in northern Iraq, as reported by none other than our President David Hearn. And every time I preach this, I would bring up David and say, David, paid up your loyalty.
as I mentioned you again. This young dentist just got married, and within a year, he left his wife and went to northern Iraq, and he wrote this letter. People have come from all over the world to join ISIS, and we are now here, and they are now here destroying and killing and bringing fear. Christians are also coming from all over the world, and they are bringing help, love, and hope. Which religion would you choose? For me, I am going to be a Christian and help them. I have a question for you. Who do you think this letter was written to? Well, you better answer, because we're not going to end the sermon if you don't answer. You want to stay? I got the whole day. Although Pastor Sam, Pastor Norman is going to kick me out to allow my good friend Reverend Young's preaching, right? Who do you think the letter was written to? Come on, guys. Wife? Okay, good. That's a good answer. Any other speculation, suggestion? Hypothesis? Yes? Church? Yes. Sorry? Parents. Can you be a little bit more specific? The letter was actually written to his father-in-law. His father-in-law was so frightened that he just walked the aisle with the daughter. I'm going to do that this year again. Can I mention the three up? I said to Pastor Sam, you know what, as a parent's giving away the daughter, we uphold the three up theory, right? Right? No matter what happened, you know, you need to show up. And no matter what grudges you have, shut up. And at the end of the day, when the bill of the banquet came, paid up. I just want my daughter down the aisles. Now you're going to Iraq? Duh. And so the son-in-law wrote the letter back. And here's what happened. The father-in-law contacted the head of the mission organization and said to the gentleman who is in charge, he said, look, if you do not send my son-in-law, I am going to donate. So you have to forgive me. I have my senior moment. I didn't write it down, the amount. I vaguely remember it's $300,000, maybe 30, but it's a large sum of money. I'm going to donate that amount of money so that you do not send my son-in-law to non-Iraq. What happened? When you run a mission organization and when you are short of funding, what do? Wow, that's a lot of money, right? Moolah, right? USD, dollar bills. No, I mean, otherwise you lose all your credibility if you accept that. Son-in-law said, I am going because this is exactly where the Lord has called me to. Yeah, there's a lot of risk. I know in this town, I know of a husband and wife. His older son is a nurse. He's now in non-Iraq. Christian guy. Really good guy. You see, our response to following Jesus is not to stay in our safety. One of the words, the three words, or the four words that I have come across when I interview the people, and I ask them, describe your faith journey in your family and in your church. Number one word came up the most, bubbled. Number two word, safe. Number three word, protected. Number four word, comfortable. If you experience that, then you have not seen the world. Take risk. Go out there and follow Jesus. Because once you have decided to follow Jesus, He will change you. He will shape you. He will mold you. And He will transform you. He will then turn you, the ordinary, into the extraordinary. And He will move you from seeing the church is my world to seeing the world is my church. That's that kind of transformation. You're no longer looking at your community as your little world of relationship or social hub. I come to see little young Johnny or little David and so on and so forth. You will be turned around and transformed to look at the entire world as God's field of labor, his vineyard to work in. And that is also the place where Christ reigns and his gospel is proclaimed. I do want to close now because you need to go to have little dim sum later on. I get all that. This morning we look at how Jesus calls disciples to follow him. We talk about following him means to be following after him, not ahead of him. And the disciple respond with submission. We talk about following him means to be following with a new purpose. And the disciple obeyed and accepted the calling and the purpose that Christ gave them. We talk about following him means to make sacrifice and take risk. And the disciple respond with their willingness to give up everything and following Jesus. Question is, what about you? What about you? When Jesus is beckoning and saying to you, come, follow me. Come, follow me. Are we ready? And are we willing? Don't worry about whether you are able, because once you are ready and you are willing, the Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will guide you. The Lord will lead you. Most importantly, the Lord will change you. And on that note, I invite you to pray with me. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, I just come to you this morning with a great sense of gratitude for this church, for this congregation, that this church has such a long history of being faithful in bearing your witness. I just continue to pray that you would raise up people in this church from the English congregation, the Cantonese congregation, the Mandarin congregation, to be true obedient followers of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, shape their life, mold their life, that they would become you, your agent, your representative, and your ambassador, wherever they are. That their eyes no longer just focus on their own little world, but focus on where you are and what you're doing in the world out there. And I pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.